One shot at a time.
We have a second half, I guess you could call it, to Ryan Gable's podcast that we recorded for the Alternate Golf Podcast. With this show, that includes a detailed round with number 45, with the President of the United States, Donald Trump. Ryan is a current club champion out at Trump Hudson Valley, and he got to tee it up with the president. So he details some funny encounters with Secret Service. He details his back and forth match with the president, where he made him putt it out, unlike the guys at the Ryder Cup. I wonder if there was any that was inside the leather jokes. We'll have to tune in and find out. But really, really cool sit down to kind of just recap his experience playing with the President of the United States, and just how you might be surprised how he might just be one of the guys. Aside from all the logos, we got to talk about a really cool golf experience that you got to have out at your home club in the Hudson Valley area, Trump National Golf Club. You got to play with 45. And talk us through that experience. There's, I imagine, a short list of people since he has become president, and we've seen what's happened since, that, you know, has gotten to play with him. How fun was that to tee it up with the Secret Service around, and just, you know, what kind of a vibe was that? Was there a crowd? I mean, I imagine you were playing with a little bit of a gallery.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, first and foremost, what an honor to play with any president. I mean, you could throw, you know, Biden, Obama, Trump, you know, George W., like any one of those guys you put in front of me, I would do anything to play golf with. I would say, you know, we were going over the decent golfer. Like, I don't think I'm that good a golfer, I'm good enough to win my club championship. So I would say there's like a top five bucket list, you know, get invited to play Augusta, play with a president, you know, get to play Pebble Beach with your dad, like stuff like that. Maybe win a match or two in a USGA championship, like stuff like that is in that upper echelon of things that regular 35-year-olds don't get a crack at. So a little bit of backstory. I won my club championship a few weeks back, which I had to beat a 15-year-old in extra holes in the quarters, which was like playing against my own mortality, because I used to be that 15-year-old Asian kid that I did win my club championship when I was 15. So it was like, yeah, everybody was kind of watching me to get, you know, the payback that I probably deserve. But I didn't. I stuck it out and I hold a flop shot on 17. And
it's like I buried that 15-year-old. I absolutely buried him.
That's the beauty of golf.
Thing about me, I don't let anybody win. And then, you know, I'm three down with five to play in the final, but it goes to show you, think about the things in your life that you're glad you put in that little extra, where, you know, I could have gracefully lost 2-1 and it would have been, you know, a beer and a smile, but I don't get to play with 45 a week or two after. So the story starts is I get a text and I'm sitting there designing, I'm jamming out to my music in the middle of the night from the head pro, and he says, you know, hey, DJT is coming up to play the golf course, you know, would you join us for golf? I'm looking at it, I was like, DJT, I was like, who the hell do I know? Like, and I'm like, oh, holy shit. I was like, yeah, absolutely. I would love to.
Wait a minute, I recognize those initials.
So it took me a second to realize who that is, and it's just, you know, I don't know. Like, I got nervous receiving the text. It was weird. It was the first time I've been nervous on a golf course in a while. I told my parents the next day. They thought I was lying. But then, you know, 4 days later, I'm showing up to the golf course, and I tried to Google as much as I could to, you know, I forgot, trying to remember from TV, like how to treat a president, call him Mr. President, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, I'm sitting there practicing. I'm there early. And then I see the motorcade come up, and I'm like, I look at it, I was like, oh my God. And then, you know, it's strange. He's taller than you would think. It looks like he's lost some weight. I don't know if he's doing the kind of training that you are, Dalton, you know, wearing the vest and running around, but the guy's in pretty good shape. I mean, he put on the same COVID-15 that everybody else put on.
Right.
But But no, it seemed he was, that was the first thing that struck me. He was taller than I thought. But no, he showed up, and he's not a handshaker. He's a fist bumper, which is good because I am too.
That's the said, kind of complexities where I feel like I would overthink and just turn into a puddle when I would meet either, you know, a president, or if I were to meet like Tiger Woods, handshake versus fist bump. I feel like I would fuddle that to all, like you said, I would be the night before probably no sleep Googling every last little detail to try and get it perfect. Cause I know something would go wrong and I'd fuddle it up and I'd be like, great. He thinks I'm just an absolute nincompoop.
Well, I went for the, so I wasn't sure. And I went for the handshake and he went for the bump. And I mean, thankfully I got it into a fist, but because I really didn't want to stick shift the president of the United States.
It's all about the smooth transition.
But yeah, I mean, it's the good thing is, for a golf course, if I met a president in any other respective life, I'm probably a ridiculous puddle, but at least the golf course, I'm like, all right, I'm not the alpha in this group, but I at least know how to carry myself here. Better than anywhere on the court, but anywhere in the world. So, it was weird. I mean, my stomach kind of just, I think I swallowed it when he came. It was so weird. I had trouble, you know, kind of getting some of my words out, but, now he came right up to me and, he had a Diet Coke waiting for him on the corner. The president drinks a lot of Diet Coke. He's not a big drinker. I don't know if a lot of people know that. He likes, you know, he likes his sweets, and he likes, maybe he switched from Coke to Diet Coke. Maybe that's where all the weight went. But, I looked pretty slender, and then we were right out to the range, and we're warming up. And, I mean, it's Secret Service everywhere. You know, there's state troopers, there's sheriffs, and obviously everybody who's there got an eyeball on him. I mean, if Tiger walks into the room, everybody's got an eye. It's just one of those people in the world that everybody's going to take a peek at, you know, what they're doing. So I'm sitting there warming up on the range, which I saw a video of our warm-up session all over the internet. And like I had planned, because I live in a fairly liberal town, and I'm politically pretty in the middle. Like a lot of 35-year-olds, like, I think this way on this and this way on this. So like, you know, I'm not, I didn't want to polarize all of my friends on Facebook, but I, you know, I found out, my friends would text me like, dude, you're all over Snapchat. I'm like, all right, I guess it's not a secret. So, you know, I see my warm up, and the one thing I can remember about that warm up is the best warm up I've ever had. Like, I'm so pumped up. Like, my hands are like, it feels like so light. And I went out and lasered it after. It's a downhill range and the wind was behind us. I probably was flying my 8-iron north at 205. Like, I was so jacked up. It was one of those ones that you just airmail the green over, like from the middle of the fairway. It's just, I kept doing that in a row. I was like hitting these high draws, and I don't really hit a draw. And I'm like, this is not great. And I had to dial down my yardages on the golf course, because I was a little jacked up in the beginning. I was clubbing down by half a club.
I mean, it's just something you never think about, right? Because it's those only scenarios, whether it's playing with the president of the United States or if you get in a final pairing at like a USGA event or something, that there's only situational adrenaline that could put your body in that kind of like high almost to you never get there unless you're there, which is just crazy to experience. Now you talked about playing with some other folks from Hudson Valley. Who else was in the group with you, and what was a conversation like all day? You know, you've never met the president, he's never met you, and probably the two that were in the group as well. You know, what'd you guys talk about for 18 holes?
Well, so the other guys in the group was our GM, Brian Frieswick, who, by the way, this is a great story in itself. My first job, he was my boss. I worked there before Trump owned the golf course. I worked in the cart barn, which tragically burned down last weekend. But I used to work.
Holy smokes. Yeah,
I used to work in the cart barn there. So I went from, you know, I went from cart kid to club champion with a parking spot. But, you know, I'm still driving the same shitty Jetta that is now parked in that spot. And, but no, it was a surreal moment. I'm glad I got to share that with him. And by the way, he's pretty good. He doesn't practice at all. Got a great swing. I haven't played with him since 2002. So, it was good to tee it up with him. Our head pro, Shelby Lohman, who is a really, really steady golfer. I got to play with him earlier this year. Never misses a fairway. And then, I'm glad I got to share the experience with our, one of our better seniors there. He's a guy who's 57, but he's, you know, an ex ball player. He used to play baseball. I think he got all the way to AAA with the Reds, a guy named Joe Bruno. That is a close friend of mine. And I was glad because, you know, at least I got to share that experience with one of my buddies. And, I mean, he can hit the hell out of it too. I mean, for 57 years old, I mean, he's out there north of 300 and it's an athletic move. It's one of those things you can't teach that, you know, you see ball players and hockey players. It's, can you create speed? That's the whole game. Can you create speed and, you know, shift your weight in a way where you're going to be efficient? But yeah, so the match was 45, the GM, the head pro versus me and Joe, the guy who won. He's the reigning champion of our thing called the Bison, which is a senior, or not a senior. It's our stroke play championship. So we could play. Yeah. And it was a really good match and it was tight. So we played them kind of 3-on-2. And by the way, the president's game big time surprised me. He has a really refined golf game. Like those hard to kind of get at back flags that are, you know, narrowed back there. He's hitting 5-iron in high. And that's, you know, it's hard to illustrate that to other golfers where, you know, they're taking that long iron and sophisticatingly putting it, you know, not too long, not too short. He's getting it back there to that flag. And, I'm sure he's, I think I might've made the joke to him while we're out there, but you know, hey, you know, spring chicken, but he hit like every fairway except for one. Like he was straight as an arrow. He has an interesting move, but he is down the middle every single time, which is tough on the other side because it puts pressure on you. So you gotta kind of hit it. And I would say the first five holes, you know, playing with somebody that famous it's like playing with an alien. Like you're looking at them like everything they do, and you're not even focused on what you're doing.
And I always say, let alone the hitting every fairway, because I think low key, if you hit every single fairway, if you're in stroke play, if you're in match play, it wears down your opponents.
Oh yeah,
you're like, when's this guy gonna make a mistake? Yeah. So not only to look at him like that, but then you're saying I was already looking at him like an alien, and then he's hitting every fairway too.
Yeah. Well, I was, you know, because I, you know, you see, for 4 years or 5 years, people are talking about him over and over and over again. It's just like it's the glaze over my face. Like I can't believe I'm actually playing golf with this guy right now. I texted Joe the night before and said I'm looking through my Facebook scroll and people are making memes and talking. You know, very pro, very good. Like, it's like wild that all these people are talking about this guy, yet we're going to go have a 18 holes and a burger with him in a couple hours. It's such a surreal moment, but it was, he was really, really nice to me too. Like, I think he understood that obviously I was very nervous. He gave me a little bit of a breakfast ball in the first hole. Cause I think he understood that I probably couldn't feel my hands. So the first notion I got from the president was compassion. And he's different than, you know, what people say. He's very friendly. He's a really good guy to play with. So the conversations when we were out there, you know, they never got super personal because he's got so much going on. I mean, Sean Hannity called him when we were on the fourth hole. It's to add to the surreal day. But yeah, I mean, it's just, he was good to us. He was friendly. The conversations were very surface level. It was about the golf course. And
any trash talk come out of the groups?
I waited till the back nine, but I definitely did. Like after a couple holes, the glaze, you know, playing with Mr. President kind of wears off, and it's like, all right, now where are we at in the match? Like, we get to the ninth hole, and I'm keeping the card just because obviously I'm going to have him sign it at the end. And we get to the ninth hole, and there is a sea of members who are just waiting the whole day there. And of course, Mr. President steps up to one and just stones it like a foot. And I'm like, I got a 55-yard bunker shot after that. I got to try to get up and down to tie the hole in front of people with the clubhouse behind them. Like, I'm thinking of catching one in the forehead and killing somebody, or at least knocking out a window. But no, he's good in front of a crowd. But I looked at the card after nine holes, and I saw I was keeping it for me, Joe, and Donald Trump. I'm like, I see you. Like, I had no idea what we were at, what the match was at, like what we were at. I looked at it, I was like, oh my God, we all shot 38 this side. I was like, you know, I want to respect the office, which I'm a big respect the office guy. But I was like, I also don't want to get trounced on my own golf course. So I had a hot dog, and I was standing to the side there. He's taking pictures of everybody. I'm like, all right, let's buckle down. I don't want to show my friends a scorecard here that says 86 on it forever. Me and Joe buckled down on the back. Joe actually shot 33 on the back. I didn't make a bogey after five. I think I ended up shooting, me and him ended up shooting a 71 and a 73. But on the back nine, it was, you know, it was a little more comfortable, a little more jovial. It's just, you know, the same with any pairing. You're just feeling each other out. And then a couple of times you kind of nudge me and be like, all right, club champ, let's see you put one by me. Or and there was a really cool exchange. There was one very good exchange with me in the Secret Service. I'll tell you that off air. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. It was really, really funny. Me and the president were kind of trash talking back and forth. And I think he respected, like, as a guy, because he's kind of a guy's guy and super friendly, good to play with. I think he respected the fact that I didn't lie down.
Nice. It's kind of like that. Dalton and I have this conversation all the time. And that's kind of like the great thing about golf is, like, you know, you can go out as a solo player, meet up with like three people, and there's always that kind of like hesitancy and awkwardness for like the first couple holes until that moment where you break the ice and everybody just kind of like just lets the shoulders down, and they're just like, wow, that big old weight's off my shoulder. And now we're just four new like friends hanging out playing golf. And like that's kind of seeing what you're telling me with the back nine. It's like, you know what? All right, now we're playing kind of just like a member friendly match.
Yeah.
All right, this guy just has probably one of the highest hierarchy statuses in like the United States and world, but you put that behind you and you're like, I'm just playing golf with another person who loves to play golf. And we're, you know, we're pretty competitive and you're out there playing a little match and like, separate with the giant gallery. But I mean, besides the point, that's kind of like, we've always talked about that. And that's like awesome to see. Cause you kind of may have taken a little bit longer because of who it was, but at the end of the day, you know, you're out there just playing golf, and that's what we all love.
Well, it's a weird vibe because it's like, you know, you got a lot of people that have eyes on you, but nobody cares what I'm doing. So it's like playing in a club championship where everybody's rooting for the other guy. Like it was interesting, but he was good to me because I think he understands that kind of fishbowl that he lives in, that I was probably like super nervous. Like, so he was like extra nice to me in the beginning. But no, we had a good time. I mean, you take away, you know, everything about him. He's just a great guy to play with. Like, he's, you know, just a guy who's excited by life. I mean, you look at some of the holes and be like, yeah, I love this hole here. You know, I love what they did here. And that was kind of a course that I've known since I was younger. So, I mean, he asked me about some of the architectural design of the place and, you know, he really takes what you say to heart. Like, it was, I don't know. It's just one of those things where I think that he wasn't as big a personality as I thought. And honestly, he asked questions like to us, like he never really talked about himself. He was just like a really good guy to play with. And we had fun. It was just, at the end of the day, it was five of us just having a good time on the golf course.
And I think that's the coolest thing to hear, man. Cause like, whether it's him, whether it's other celebrities, whether it's other pro golfers, like you can break it down to just in the own niche of golf itself. When I was in the PGA Championship, there was even on a Sunday at the BMW this 2 weeks ago at Kays Valley, there was even some pros down the stretch at the BMW that kind of understood they didn't have a shot in it, that were talking back and forth between fans in between holes, that were mucking it up from like tee shot to fairway. And it was like, they weren't talking about golf. They weren't talking about this. They were asking some of the people like, you know, what's your favorite thing about Baltimore? They were asking them, you know, where's the best this at? Where's the best that at? Like, to dumb it down, to not to dumb it down, but to just see these guys being human beings, right? Like taking in the scenery for what it is. It's really awesome to see even the people at the highest of highs, like the status chain, just be human beings. Cause it's cool to kind of rationalize and say, hey, he appreciated that. Like I appreciated that. And it's always cool to see, you know, brought down to reality kind of stories of these folks. And, you know, whether it's the president of the United States or anyone of that higher status, it's really cool to see that, that be able to be had, because sometimes I feel like the stories go blunder of it's not that way. And it's really cool to hear that it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, we're all golfers. We're all, you know, there's a reason he owns, you know, 17 golf properties. It's because he loves the game of golf, and the feeling that we get when we flush a five iron, that's what everybody gets. Like we all get that, like, oh man, I nutted that one. But no, he was just a regular guy, and you know, a regular guy that held the highest office you can possibly hold. It was so cool to, and he is incredible at compartmentalization. Like the fact that he goes in from one mode right to the golf, but he's all in on both of them. Like it's incredible that he's able to do it. And then I think we're on we get to the back nine and the match is pretty tight. Me and Joe have kind of buckled in, and we're a couple down at the turn. Now we're making some birdies, and I'm on the 15th hole, and we're raking it from, you know, maybe 3 feet all day. Cause listen, I'm not going to make this guy putt it. He's had enough stress in his life. I've in tournament golf, I hit these all the time. Like I don't try not to hit them in my regular rounds.
Ryan, I think I'm going to be honest with you. I think if it came down to the 17th or 18th hole and you were tied and it was a putt for the win, I think you might've made him. I see a little competitor in you. I think you might've made him.
boy, probably not. Probably not. I mean, there was a couple, he would make it anyway. So the president's a really good putter. I guess you can develop a good putting stroke. All the courses he plays are great. I mean, I think he plays Bedminster a lot. And, there was one thing that I saw from him on 13 that honestly changed a lot of my perception of him, like as a golfer and as a person. So he humanized himself so much to me where I was like, oh my God. So we're on 13. His team is already in with par. He's got a 15 footer for bogey that, I mean, frankly, I would have just picked up. He grinds over it, you know, gets the read. He like was a little outside the hole on the left, and he makes his 15 footer for bogey. And he goes to his, I guess his former chief of staff, Dan, who's, works with him now. I don't know what the exact title is. But he goes to him, he goes, I just didn't want to make a double there. I was like, you know what, to a golfer, that's almost religion. you got a good card going. You don't want to put a double on it. So I mean,
that blemish on there. Heck no.
Yeah. To me, that's the gospel. So, you know, you're looking at that. I'm like, all right, this is a guy. this is a president, but he still doesn't want to make double. And then a couple holes later, he has me putt one that's like 2 feet. He goes, all right, club champ, let's see you knock it in. So I make it. And then there's like the joke of like, kind of gave him the thumbs up, and he goes to the, you know, our GM just like as a joke, obviously totally in jest. And he goes, hey, didn't these guys get the memo? They're supposed to let the president win. I look at him. I was like, hey, 45, you picked the wrong two guys for that. So
I love it, man. It's cool to see that, like, by the mid to end of the round, I mean, you were even talking hole 13 and on, that there was just – it was guys out playing golf. And I think that's just – golf is the universal language. And we're seeing it more and more every day. Yep. Other high-end sports are getting into golf. You know, the Steph Currys, the Aaron Rodgers. All these massive players in other sports are flocking to golf. And I think it's so cool that, you know – finally, because I've been a golf nut since I was 5 years old. We're a cool sport, man. We're where everyone wants to go.
We made it.
Yeah.
We made it.
Yeah. It's awesome to see, man, whether it's, you know, 45 or just anybody out there that's really coming to this game. And it is a universal language. And we can all just kind of, you know, we could be boys over it. We could have the conversations. We could jest a little bit to anybody.
Yeah.
And it's fun. And it's really cool that was your experience.
I'd love to play with him again. Like, and afterwards we got to have a full dinner. Like, I'm sitting there eating chicken wings and there's 200 people with their camera phones, you know, filming us eating. I was like, I asked him, I was like, is this what you deal with? Like all the time? Like, it's like a fishbowl. People are sitting there watching you eat and I'm super self. That was probably the most self-conscious I was all day. I was like, do I really go for this chicken wing and the blue cheese? I'm like, if I go in too dainty or I go in too messy, I'm going to be a meme. Like I gotta be careful here. but no, he had me sit right next to him, which was cool. That was a friend of mine took a picture where, you know, I'm sitting next to him. It's just a little bit of a candid shot, but it's a, you know, my dad told me to kind of write down everything that I could remember during the day because, you know, when I'm 81, like I may not remember all the details. I want to be able to kind of recall the day. And it was so cool. And yeah, there were 250 members in there waiting for us just to get a glimpse. And it was fun to look cool for a change. You know, everybody's there waiting on this one guy. I'm sitting next to him. This is something I'm not super used to. So it was nice to kind of feel special for a day. And, I enjoyed my time with him. I'd love to play with him again. Honestly, I'd love to just go play Trump West Palm because I haven't been there in, gosh, 10 years.
I think that's the beauty of it when you break it down to just like the entity that is Trump, right? Like politics aside, put it, you know, wash it away. He's a golf guy. Mm-hmm. Like at the end of the day, he owns these properties not because of A, B, C, or D. He loves it because he loves golf and he loves to get himself integrated with whatever, you know, the golf course has to offer, whatever the amenities at these properties have to offer. And I think that's the coolest part is we saw for a while and we got thrown in our faces at the highest of levels. He is a golf guy through and through. And I think that's just no more evident than what your experience is kind of telling us is, you know, he just loves it. He loves being out there. He loves every aspect of golf, whether it's on the course, off the course, and everything in between. It's, you know, and I couldn't agree more. I think traveling to every Trump place is just, you get a taste of what high-end golf is.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, I've had friends from both sides of the aisle kind of say, I've had a couple of my friends say, "Oh, I can't believe you." I was like, well, shut up. I was like, if Jimmy Carter asked me to go get ice cream with him, I would. Like anything involving a US president, I mean, they're our guy. Like, I mean, most of our civilian population would step in front of a bullet if they had to save him. I mean, it's somebody like that is just so important to our country. And, it was such a weird honor for a 35-year-old because I got to imagine the guys that play with him are, you know, titans of industry and decent, you know, really good sticks from his clubs. There's not a lot of 35-year-olds that kind of get to have that opportunity, especially since he became president. So his circle became so much smaller, once he became president. I mean, it was so weird. It was so weird. It was so surreal. It was so cool. Everything about the day. And then just to kind of unwind after the day, I saw before they started cleaning his cart, I wanted to take it out for a spin. So I obviously took it out for a spin. He's got the presidential cart is wired. I believe this is like a Secret Service rule. I think they have to be 5 miles an hour faster than everything else. And this thing hauled. And I was hungry, and he had a Milky Way in there. And I definitely ate that. I just wanted to see how fast it was. It was very fast. The guy plays super fast. So from a golf perspective, I'd love to play with guys like that. Just keep it moving. Like if you're playing a mid-am tournament and some guy's going, you know, taking 45 seconds hits a shot, he's not in the tournament the year after if it's an invitational. Like you got to be prepared at a mid-am like invitational. You got to play your round in 3.5 hours. And if you're first off, you better play in under 3. And
yes,
you know, the president was exactly like that. He just kept it moving, which I like. Like, don't drag this out. We all like playing fast. But no, he was really, really, really kind to me. And it was just cool to get that experience.
Dante and I talk about this all the time. You can do a lot wrong on the golf course. Mm-hmm. If you play fast, it makes up for a lot of wrongs very quickly. I'm all for Dante and I both have walked the golf course in under 2 hours, a full 18. Mm-hmm. We are the epitome of play fast or be forgotten, pretty much. I mean, like you said, the invite to not come back is very, very stingy when we deal with slow mm-hmm. play.
Yeah, I mean, if you take more than 5 seconds to pick your club, you're like almost finished with it. Just hit it. It's probably going to come up short regardless of what you're going to hit. So
some of the guys I play with, I'm winded when I'm walking off 18.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was quick.
That's awesome.
But, you know, it's something that we all like to, you know, do you want to have good conversation? Yes. I mean, check all my boxes. Do you want a burger after your round? Yes. You know, do you play fast? Do you play good? I mean, he played straight and grinded out his round. And I kept the card. So there was no BS, like no nothing. Like I wanted to see like actually what he would shoot. And we played it further back. We started out on our blue tees, but we were back, you know, towards our gold tees, which were, I think it's 7,700 yards, which is a really, really big ballpark for, especially the part of the country where I'm without like that much elevation. I think I haven't entirely checked in on it. I think I have the course record from those back tees and it's a 70. Like it's not a gaudy score.
Well, and I always think too, just the Northeast region, like Scranton North, plays wet. Mm-hmm. It never plays firm. Like it plays long, even if you play it from the regular tees, let alone a beast of a 7,700 yard course.
Yeah. I mean, the second hole is almost 609. It's 690 yards. Like, and it's into the wind. Like if that thing plays into the wind, which a lot of times with a north wind, it does. You're looking at a hole that plays 760. it's a driver, it's 3 wood, and probably an 8 iron. Sometimes it's a 5 iron if it's in the India. So, I mean, he actually had us step back on some of those back tees a few times. So I would say we played at our golf course around somewhere between 6,850 and about 7,000. Like if I were to estimate it, I mean, and he shot a no frill 79, like no double bogeys. Stoned one on 9. I mean, it was a real round. It was the round I want my president shooting.
I love that.
You know, do I really want my president? I don't want to see him shoot 106. So I'm glad, like, you know, he has that competitiveness inside
him. I'm glad you phrased it that way, because Dante and I were talking before we got on here because we knew we were going to talk about this. And we were batting around like, okay, obviously presidents in the past have played, hell, Dwight D. Eisenhower played. Like they've played, presidents are notorious for playing golf. It's just something that they pick up, they play. We were joking around and kind of said it jovially, like you just did, like, I want my president breaking 80. Like I don't want a president who can't break 100. What kind of president is he? So it's pretty neat to see a man of the Oval Office standing in there and shooting a respectable 79.
Yeah, I mean he's a good player. I mean it rained the week before, so like wasn't playing that short either. Like the ball wasn't rolling out that much just because I think we got dumped on with rain like 5 inches the week before. But I'm glad he shot a good number because now I got my scorecard that I got forever. I at least shot a respectable score. I think I shot 73, and then Joe shot 71, but It was a good day, I think, until the end. He made a couple bogeys towards the end because the golf course gets super long at the end. The 16, 17, 18 stretch is just a little bit of a beast of a finish. Up until then, I mean, he was neck and neck with us. So, and I'm the club champion there, and Joe is probably in that top four in the club. You know, he's kind of hanging with us on a golf course we play more than him. So he is not a guy that you would want to see from 6,400 yards. I can tell you that. Like if he
played in a members event, up a set of tees because he's a certain age bracket, he'd take names.
I think he won one of the senior club championships at one of the courses like this year. Like every so often, because he is theoretically, because he owns a golf course, he's a member at all these. So if he's got the competitive bug, he'll go and play like the senior club championship. And I think he won one of them. It was either Bedminster or West Palm. One of the ones he frequents more just because of Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, his place at Bedminster is already basically wired for Secret Service and all that. And, but Secret Service guys are great. I mean, they're so professional, and a couple of them are like really packing on them. Like they are ready for something just in case. And they're just, somebody tells me like, "Hey, did you feel extra secure?" I was like, dude, if something happens, I am not, they are not even caring what happens to me.
You're getting pushed into the pine trees off to the right and saying, "Hope you live, bud."
they're happy I'm there just because I'm a human shield at that point.
For sure.
No, they were great. Some of his people are pretty good. His chief of his former chief of staff is kind of a local here to the Hudson Valley, so it just humanized everybody today. Like he was a former GM at one of his clubs. Just it's his people. Like he lives in the next town over for me, and you know we had fun just talking about the local area, and it was an honor to play with him because he hasn't played there since getting elected president. So I was, it was just so cool. And I wish I get to have that opportunity again, but at least I would say I might be a little less starstruck the second time around, but you can never kind of take away that first experience from me where, I'm 35 years old. I'm playing with the president. This is so cool. And he's one of the most notable presidents of all time.
And it's like a sentence where if you just stop and think about what you just said too, if you looked 2 years ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, and you would say that sentence, you'd probably be like, get out of here. No chance. You're joking. Like slap yourself for saying that. Cause it would never happen.
Yeah. I mean, I would say the best analogy I can make for it is it's like getting asked to play Augusta. It's in that same realm where if the president asks me to go play anywhere on earth, I'm on a flight that hour. If somebody asks me to go play Augusta, I'm on a flight that hour. It's just one of those things where you drop everything. I can't believe they even asked me if I was free. It should have just been, "Hey, by the way, you're playing with this.
Ryan,
you're
playing here's your tee time. Don't ask questions. Just be there."
I mean, I was there 2.5 hours before the time. Like I had to kind of, I had two warm-up sessions. I had to like shake out the nervous energy. And then, it's one of those things you're afraid to eat. Like you don't want to have to, you don't have to go to the bathroom. You don't have to do anything. Like I had to remind myself to kind of keep hydrating, just because you with a guy like that, you're watching everything he does. Like it's just, it's weird. He was on everybody's mind for the last 5 years. It's pretty wild. Like, surreal is such an easy way to describe the day. At some point here, when I get a second to think about it, I'll probably come up with a better word, but it'll be close to that.
I know some of the words I feel like have to be cliche, but they do mean exactly what they mean, like in the true essence for you.
Yeah. It's like, when I say surreal, like I actually mean surreal, not like, when a bunch of Valley girls are saying the word literally when they obviously mean figuratively. I actually mean, like, this was one of the coolest experiences in my life. And, you know, you only get to play with your first president once. Like, that was such a bucket list day. And, you know, you get some of the members there. They're dressed to the nines. I made the joke that some of the members' daughters, I was like some of them look like they're going to the prom. Like, everybody wants to, I can't imagine even being one of those people. Like, everybody wants just their glimpse of them. Like, the amount of people that he touches is incredible. And he's really good with people. Like, in a crowd, you can see he's very personable. He looks you in the eye. You know, he speaks right to you. He's just better than, I'm sure most presidents are like this. He's just better with people than most people are. Where I would probably feel a little uncomfortable, in that light. After he stoned 1-on-9, there was a group of people he had to go over and see. I told him, I was like, "Hey, Mr. President, there's some girls over there. Can you make me look cool?" Of course he made me look cool by, you know, almost holing a second shot and me losing the hole. But, he was, I don't know. I know you guys are, you know, big, big Trump guys. And I just wish I had more people to invite that day. Like, I was afraid it wasn't going to happen if I invited people.
Well, and it's one of those things too, right? Like, how do you react? And this is kind of the way I always think about it when those scenarios pop up for other people and they're like, "Man, I wish this, or I wish that." It was like, I wouldn't have ever expected anyone to act any different when they're put in that scenario, because I know if I'm in that scenario, it would be such a blur. I wouldn't want to A, mess anything up, or B, someone do something that makes it go wrong, and then all of a sudden I'm not there, you know, like something weird. Or just like, I like controlling what I can control, and I can only imagine that was kind of your approach about it too. But man, just what an awesome day to experience. And, you know, obviously, thanks to your golf awareness sending a 15-year-old home packing early in the club championship.
Hey, listen, I mean, I used to be that 15-year-old. It was like playing against my own mortality. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm not ready to give this up yet. So maybe next year. Like, I won't be able to beat that kid. I won't be able to beat that kid next year. He's just got, the second he gets a little bigger and he starts hitting a little further than me, he's got a better short game than me already. His iron game is already more refined. I just had a little bit extra just on the length side. And once he kind of meets me on that length, which, you know, I get shorter every year, he's going to be tough to beat. I got to get really crafty. But we have some good players over there. Like, you know, we have a couple guys that are in that senior category that are really, really good, that are just getting into that senior amateur category in that mid 50s range. A guy named Rob Johnson, who has the course record from the tees we mostly play, to 62. That dude can play. Like, he's a tough out when it comes to the club championship. Like, him and I played last year, and it went all the way to 18. I think one or two bogeys were made total in our match. And then a guy, Sander Kautas, that I beat in the final. I mean, we went 37. So, you know, I'm a reasonably good mid-am. I would say I'm okay. Like, there's a lot of good mid-ams here in the metropolitan area that I just, you know, I can't get a sniff at.
I mean, I watched I think it's the Metropolitan PGA. Mm-hmm. I watched your guys' leaderboards all the time. And you guys, whether it's mid-am or senior am, you guys have some guys that just take it low on a consistent basis, which is always cool to see. Dante, I don't know about you, but I haven't played much golf up in like the Hudson Valley area. It's pretty foreign to me as far as what's up there. The farthest I've gotten north, like New York area, we went from like Scranton, where I played college golf, we went from Scranton all the way up to Rochester. Like, we didn't really stop anywhere in between. But
I think a Bethpage trip is in our future.
I lied.
100%.
I played Turning Stone.
Okay.
A buddy of mine, we were supposed to go to Myrtle Beach, but a hurricane literally ripped through that week we were supposed to go. And we're like, well, what are we going to do? And we both had the time off. Let's go north. And it was like October, so it was a little on the cooler side. And we went up to Turning Stone. Those tracks there at the casino. That place is pretty sick. If we can get a crew that's to go up there.
That's a good place up there. I mean, I went to college in Binghamton, so Turning Stone isn't that far away, and yeah. I'm a blackjackaholic, so I mean it's tough. It's honestly tough to get me to stop splitting eights and actually go play golf.
For the listeners, like the sickest part about that is when we went up there for like 4 days or something, and we parked the car and never went to the car. I mean, like if you're on that property and you're staying there, I mean, we stayed in the back. So they got like the Tower Hotel and then they got the back lodge. So we stayed in the back lodge, which was right next to the golf courses, I should say. You can walk out, you can go to the range. There's always buckets filled with balls. You can hit range all day. If you want, you can just walk across the street in the back parking lot, hit the casino. I mean, there's like 50 restaurants. There's a club. They got
that steakhouse on top is incredible.
Oh my gosh. I thought I was in a mafia movie because the one time I looked, I shit you not, dude. I looked to it was just my buddy Paul and I, and we're sitting there and it's great view because we were sitting there and like you look out the window and you can see like the property. I mean, it's a gorgeous place. But I looked to my left and there was like one of those big boots and it was like, you know, you had like the big Italian guy in the suit just sitting in the middle and just people are just coming left and right to him, handing him whatever. And I looked at him, I looked at my buddy Paul, I said, oh shit. I said, but it was a lot of fun. I mean, that's a great, I mean, it's on the more expensive side, but I mean, it's well worth it. I mean, you go there, you do not have to leave. And like, if you got guys who want to play and drink and booze, they go into the casino, play and all that. You got guys who want to grind on their game. They can go. I mean, you don't have to worry about where everybody is because it's all within like 2 minutes walk.
Yep. I have a little bit of a bat phone to Beth Page if we want to do the black, but honestly, have you guys played the black?
No, I have not. And that's been on our list for a while. We might have to make that a fall trip this year.
Maybe
be our trip.
Maybe we even do the camp out, which by the way is just as fun. You get, you know, it's a bunch of guys that definitely go to bed like 3 hours too late for what they're about to go through. I mean, they knock on your window at 4 a.m, but you went to sleep like 90 minutes before that. Because it's a bunch of guys just tailgating golf. And then you got to go play one of the hardest courses in the world. And you definitely have to walk and carry. But you guys, I think you would love the scene at Bethpage. From a content perspective, there's a lot of... There's a lot of good content to be had out there, and I can find us a pretty good game out there. There's a set of guys called the Nassau Players Club that has a ton of good golfers. That is, you know, you got ex-firemen, ex-New York City cops, like some real blue-collar guys. But like, oh, well, by the way, they're +3.
That's our group. We're gonna end it here for this episode, guys. So thanks for tuning in. But if you heard what he just said, we're setting that up. Find us out at Bethpage Black, playing with the blue collar guys, because that's our crowd right there. I'm excited for that. We need to set that up. Ryan, I know we're gonna talk more off air, but I appreciate all the stories that you've been able to share with us, from playing with 45 to your own journey within the game and the content creation and the graphic arts and everything surrounding the golf courses that you're helping, the golf courses that you're gonna help in the future. And like we said a couple times in the episode, guys, alternate golf logos on Instagram, +1 creative, little pencil with a golf flag with a +1 on it. Go check it out. Go follow him. If you're interested in getting logos done by him, DM him. Serious logo inquiries only, though. He's swamped, so only serious inquiries. And then follow him just because of the stories he puts on. He puts bad logos to blast, which is what we love the best. Ryan, appreciate the time. And as always, guys, get out there, carry your clubs, and enjoy the walk.
Thanks for having me, boys.
Thanks, Ryan.
That's the stuff. One shot at a time.